This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Wisconsin was an attractive destination for African Americans during the Civil War period. There was fertile farmland and plenty of work along the Mississippi River. Many abolitionists lived in the state, and as outspoken critics of slavery, they helped former slaves find freedom in Canada. Although there were not many African Americans in Wisconsin in the mid-1800s, each played a significant role in shaping the state. Claiborne Benson is the executive director and one of the founders of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. I recently visited him at the organization's museum in Milwaukee. Benson says it's impossible to pinpoint when African Americans first came to Wisconsin, but their population did increase as the Civil War and the issues of slavery heated up.
Clearly, there were waves. I mean, the French brought African Americans here early on. And as trappers and guides, when this was a territory, or before it was a territory, were hunters just like the French and Indian, and they brought them here as slaves as well, to help control various forts and interact. And many of them migrated here as just regular people, and they were brought here again as slaves, indentured servants during the territorial time, working along the western part of the state of Wisconsin, they harvest lead out of mines because it was so labor intensive. Southerners brought their slaves from the south and worked in there. For example, Governor Cass had with him at least five slaves, and it may have been more, who took up mining and was very successful at that. But he brought five. The number went from 100 to as many as 700 slaves that worked the territory along the border of western part of the state, harvesting lead. That lead went on to be a major part in the Civil War in terms of ammunition and various supplies that was necessary to help fight that war. So Africans have been here very long, and those waves came on. But when they learned about the state and what it could be, they came here as free citizens during that time, and along with the other immigrants that came in the 48s, the Irish came, and so did African Americans came. Not in large numbers, but small numbers, but yet they did came. And many people brought them with them as slaves and eventually as free people. They evolved from enslavement to free citizenship. Dred Scott, for example, was a slave with his owner in Minnesota, made his way down through Wisconsin, and he ran into some of the abolitionists who were very outspoken and convinced him to apply for his freedom because he had been away from home for more than 3 years, and that was a statute of limitation, and he did. So, and then thus we had the Dred Scott decision. But the abolitionists and those people living in Wisconsin were very outspoken and very supportive in terms of African Americans.
As you say, that there were many abolitionists here in Wisconsin, yeah. But all of them had different motivations, mm-hmm. behind their want to help free the slaves, mm-hmm. and find people freedom. Do you want to talk about that?
Abolitionists migrated here in large numbers, 1840s, 1850s, and they used it as a launching pad to one to fight the Nebraska Act, and then the Missouri activity that took place down in that part. They provided supplies and materials for that, and then in Wisconsin, they stationed themselves in places where they could help runaway slaves as they made it through the state of Wisconsin and then into Canada. They preached it in their churches, in their religious mode. They got their members to write papers and publish those papers, create newspapers, create public awareness The activities in Burlington, Wisconsin, with the Dred Scott providing a continent or a route in which he can escape to Canada and Caroline Quarles. Here in Milwaukee with Sherman Booth and his creating friction and frustration in people's eyes, and 5,000 people gathered at Cathedral Square to break down the jail and take Joshua Glover out of jail and eventually take him to Canada. But the whole state really opposed the whole issue of slavery. And that could be no clearer when President Buchanan demanded that the state of Wisconsin punish all those people, especially the leaders involved in the Joshua Glover breakout of jail. And the governor, the state legislature, including the Supreme Court, went on record to say that it's not a law that we are willing to enforce in the state of Wisconsin. So it's significant and important.
The Fugitive Slave Act?
The Fugitive Slave Act, that law that called for African Americans to be returned to their proper slave's owner in the South. They didn't feel that if they made it to Wisconsin, they didn't want to return them to their proper owner. They wanted them to make their way to Canada, and Wisconsin was not one to enforce this federal law passed as part of the Missouri Compromise in 1850. And they didn't like slavery. And that didn't mean to say that they liked African Americans. They didn't like slavery, and they made great sacrifices. They did enjoy the benefits of the labor of African Americans. For example, a number of communities took African Americans during the Civil War to those communities, like Fond du Lac and like Fox Lake, Wisconsin, and invited those people to come in and settle in their community. But there was much friction and not much conflict over what these people ought to be doing. And they weren't invited to be equal and free citizens, to take up businesses and to live wherever they wanted to live. They were invited to be domestic workers and to work in the fields of those particular communities, because those people felt that they had made enough sacrifice during the Civil War with their sons and fathers and grandfathers, and so that they didn't feel uncomfortable with insisting on African Americans performing raw labor for them.
And that goes back to your idea of free and unequal?
Free and unequal. And it continues even today.
I've seen a couple maps that show that a lot of people took the Mississippi River, mm-hmm. whether they escaped on a boat mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. decided to start working mm-hmm. on a boat. And I've also seen a path where people come up through the southern central part of the state and yeah. kind of head east. Can you yeah. talk about those two?
Yes, I am knowledgeable about the route up to the middle of the state of Wisconsin, from up into Burlington, up into Beloit, Wisconsin, Walworth County, into Waukesha. Waukesha was a regional capital for the Underground Railroad and this period, and published many articles. Their newspaper, if you read it today, reads Freedmen. And so that was really their philosophy. Racine was still part of that whole collection of Underground Railroads and activities. Their newspaper was called The Liberator. And so that they, too, believed in it. And if you ask either one of those communities today, not so much Waukesha, but certainly Burlington and Racine, they were very proud of those abolitionists and the runaway slaves who found safety and sanctuary in their particular community. But Milton, Wisconsin, with the Goodrich family who lived there and made the sacrifice there with the Underground Railroad, that is seen as one of the last of the underground routes or even the tunnels. Even though that's not a very long tunnel, it was a hideout point where runaway slaves found safety. As they made their way to either Sheboygan, Port Washington, Racine, and Green Bay, those were the places when they embarked and made their way to Canada, a place called Sandwich Canada.
So the majority of people who would take this route or path, they were just passing through to get to Canada, or did many people end up settling in Wisconsin?
There were some that did settle in Wisconsin, but you don't hear much of them simply because for some reason in the last 30 years, we have decided the community, whether choice or unchoice, to recognize only two, and that's Caroline Quarles and Joshua Glover. But on the most part, there were some that did settle in Wisconsin. They weren't as welcome as the others who made their way to Canada. Those that did stay were put to work at minimum wage, and they worked their lives out. But it was their decision.
That goes back to your idea of free but unequal. We'll help you out, but keep moving.
That's right. Hmm. That's exactly what it was.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. I'm talking with Wisconsin Black Historical Society Executive Director Claiborne Benson. An article in a Fond du Lac newspaper from 1862 talks about the arrival of 75 contrabands from northern Alabama. Contraband was a term dubbed by the Union Army for some fugitive slaves. Townspeople in Fond du Lac selected the new residents to work as paid servants. Although the former slaves were now considered free, the reporter writes, it appears that ownership is being transferred from southern to northern hands. Benson elaborates.
The contrabands coming to the state of Wisconsin, one coming to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and one a group coming to Fox Lake, Wisconsin, and settling in those two particular communities, and how they were how it ended up in conflict, and people eventually moved out of those communities simply out of frustration. Many moved to Chicago and some moved to Detroit. And those that were left in those communities assimilated into the general population.
Black people or white people moved out of the communities?
Black people moved out of the communities and moved to Chicago and Detroit. And there were some black people who stayed in that community. But those that did stay assimilated into the general population and just simply lived out the remainder of their lives.
Do you think it's just an untold secret, or people just want to kind of shove it under the carpet, but the fact that there were slaves, there were basically slaves in Wisconsin at different points.
Cool.
And I don't know if they were referred to as slaves.
But no, they weren't. They weren't ever referred to.
But they basically were.
Yes, they were. And there were, and there are even people. I talked to a gentleman who ran a bookstore who doesn't see that the slavery period, even in the western part of the state, during the lead mines, that was slavery. And that was indentured servitude, but it still was a form of slavery, and it did occur in the state of Wisconsin. You can't really say that the those that were brought here as part of the culture van and to relocate were slaves, because they were free citizens, and there was no legalized slavery other than they controlled their income and where they stayed at. They weren't really slaves, but they were treated as slaves, and they were treated as poorly treated in the state of Wisconsin. In Fox Lake, Wisconsin, and Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. But that was the overall attitude of the Europeans who lived in that way, to control them.
What were some of the cities that had the lead mines in western Wisconsin?
The lead mines were not, Platteville was one of them. Platteville was a major one. But the most of the lead mining took place not in cities, but in the Grant County, in the western part of the state of Wisconsin, in the far western part near the Mississippi River. That's where the lead mines were. And there were some, in fairness, there were some free African Americans living in that area as well who mined the leads. And there were, in fairness, there were some Europeans that were enslaved due to indigenousness. Yes.
That was Claiborne Benson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. Not all African Americans living in Wisconsin during the Civil War era were former slaves or even descendants of slaves. Although there weren't many in western Wisconsin, they were anything from farmers to barbers. I recently talked with UW La Crosse Professor Emeritus Bruce Mauser about this.
Blacks came to La Crosse, or to Wisconsin, along two very different paths. One was overland, and those were Yankees. When they came from out of New England and northern Ohio and northern Indiana, which was settled by New Englanders for all practical purposes and immigrants, and those people were not slaves at all. If they had been in Pennsylvania, if they came out of Pennsylvania, there was a law that was passed, and then all slaves after a particular date became free. But that was all before 1820s. So there was so those people came in as free blacks. There were blacks that came out of North Carolina who were free blacks in North Carolina, and they came to north with they sold farms that they had in North Carolina, and they brought the cash, and they bought farms in Wisconsin. And they were pushed out of North Carolina because of their color, because it was what North Carolina wanted was to get rid of that population of free blacks, and therefore sort of color code their society. Anyone who was black, by definition, was a slave. Now, those who came up the Mississippi River come out of the South. And most of those were slaves going into Prairie du Chien. But a vast majority were people who had gotten caught up in the Civil War, and they simply were, they were like people in every Civil War and war, they move. And they were called contrabands, and they were brought into Wisconsin as groups. So there were actually people who were imported to do labor in Wisconsin, expecting that they would all go back south when the Civil War was over.
So did many of the blacks return south?
Oh, I don't think there were many that went back south. But there weren't many that came to Wisconsin. There was always a fear that once the Civil War ended, or once slaves were liberated in the south, that they were going to rush north. And so that produced a significant amount of antagonism toward black migration. But when the Civil War ended and the rush did not happen, that cooled things down considerably. But there was a lot of race tension during the Civil War and after it, the fear whites would be overwhelmed with this black migration, which would drive down wages and would take jobs away from white workers. I think much more interesting about blacks in western Wisconsin is the number of Yankees, black Yankees, who came in, and they came in with no history of slavery. They did come in with prejudice, because prejudice was endemic in white society in the North. So they had to deal with that on a constant basis. But they had no experience as ever having been a slave. They came in with cash, and they came in with ambitions that were very similar to the white population. And western Wisconsin was an area where you come in with small cash, invest it, and turn it over real quick. And the object of the frontier was to get rich fast. And the blacks were no different.
So once a runaway or a former slave or someone who never was a slave came to Wisconsin, how were blacks received in Wisconsin?
Depending on what time they came. And under what circumstances. This was a time, 19th century was a time when there you could be opposed to slavery, but you certainly were not in support of equality. The very notion that blacks were equal to whites was simply not accepted in white society. If you came with cash, on the other hand, and you came with a profession, that is, you were a barber, and the society needed you because all barbers were black, then your acceptance level is much higher. So that blacks, like all whites, came in occupational classes. There were some occupations that had higher status than others. And if you were skilled, you had high status. So there was ranking, even among black population, of barbers on top and day workers on the bottom. And somewhere in between, you would have teachers. Maybe teachers and barbers would be close to the same rank, but whitewashers, any number of occupations. And they were all ranked just like white society is ranked.
And that's when I was reading your paper, when I saw you categorized or listed almost in chronological order blacks in the La Crosse area, I was surprised by the number of barbers, but now that makes sense.
Barbers had almost a monopoly in the upper Midwest. Really? And Midwest, yes. For a long period, it was one expected to go to a barbershop and have your hair cut by a black barber. But those black barbers could not cut black hair in that shop. It was a white-only shop.
So they had to go home and do it?
They did it in their homes. So they might have... this was a time, keep in mind as well, that we didn't have electric shavers and... This was where you got the news. We didn't have radio, mass communication, so that everything was word of mouth and newspaper. And so you went to the barbershop and maybe even got a shave, and you talked over the politics of the area with your friendly barber. And you liked him to be fairly neutral. And in this case, a black barber was a neutral person.
UW La Crosse Professor Emeritus Bruce Mauser. Coming up in the next half hour, learn about the African-American soldiers from Wisconsin who fought in the Civil War. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.